Good morning and welcome to Instapar's Q3 2022 earnings conference call. With us today, we have Mr. André Yassir, CEO of Instapar, Emilio Sanches, the CFO and Investor Relations Director of Instapar, and Daniel Sorogin, Instapar's Financial Planning and Investor Relations Manager. We also like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be on the listening only mode during Instapar's presentation. We will then start the question and answer session, and that should be exclusively for industry analysts and investors. Then further instructions will be provided. In case you need any further assistance during the conference call, please ask an operator to help you by dialing star zero. The audio and the slides from this conference call are being simultaneously presented on the internet at ri.instapar.com.br. At this address, we have the PDF file of this presentation for download in the webcast platform investor relations section. The replay will be available soon after the closure, and we remind you that the webcast participants may register their questions to Instapar via website, which will be answered by the RI area. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that any statements that might be made during this conference call regarding Instapar's business prospects, forecasts, operating and financial targets and beliefs and assumptions of company's management, as well as current information. Forward-looking statements are not guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts must understand that general conditions, sector conditions, industry conditions and other operating factors may affect Instapar's future results, may lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such future conditions. I would now like to hand the floor to Mr. André Yassir, Instapar's CEO, who will begin his presentation. Please, Mr. Yassir, you may proceed.
Good morning. Welcome. My name is André Yassir, and I am Instapar's CEO, and together with Emilio Sanches, the company's CFO, we will disclose now the results for Q3 2022. On page three, we have the agenda for the day, and we would like to start by the highlights of Q3 results, ESG agenda, closing remarks, and we will finally open for questions and answers. Starting our presentation on page five, we would like to start with the highlights of Q3 this year. The net revenue has achieved a historical record for this quarter, 295 million reais, almost 30% above the year-on-year comparison. The cash gross profit had a 60% growth vis-à-vis to the last year's same quarter and resulting from optimization of fixed costs and a more profitable portfolio. The EBITDA margin was basically twofold as compared to last year and continues with this growth trend, 15.6% EBITDA margin. With regards to the capital structure, we also had great news. We have renegotiated over 360 million reais for the long term, and that demonstrates the trust of the shareholders and creditors on the company. Also the leverage reduction. We have now 5x-2.5x net debt to EBITDA rate, and our expectation is that in the next quarters we will have even greater reductions in this because of not only the operating leverage, but also because of the revenue increases. I also would like to highlight the performance of our digital platforms. AutoTech is its name, and we have reached 16.2% of our total revenue coming from such platforms. And there is no doubt that we have a new and very relevant avenue of growth for the company. Still on the highlights of 3Q, let's now move to page six. And here we are not only going to call your attention to the historical records for the quarter, but as this growth of 29%. And we are way beyond in terms of revenues compared to the pre-COVID. And we still have room to improve even more. And if we observe the flow of vehicles in departments, we can see that in the sectors of leisure, healthcare, and commercial office buildings, we are, if not above, very close to the pre-pandemic. On street, shopping malls, and airports, we have even more room to grow in flow and in revenue. And that will bring a very important operating leverage. And we are very optimistic with the next quarters and the recovery of the vehicle flow in the sectors that have not reached the pre-pandemic levels yet. Now, on slide number seven, let's talk about the auto tech agenda of the company. We had this strong increase in transactions and a record share of the digital platform in company's revenue. And as we said, we've reached 16.2% of total revenues were stemming from digital platforms. In terms of the number of transactions in Q3, we have reached 10.3 million of digital transactions. The on-street only amounts to almost 6 million, almost twice as if compared to the same Q of 2021. And we still have an expectation of increase in the volume of transactions and year-on-year comparison. And we can see the new services that are offered through the Azul Plus platform. Those are new services that make the Instapar ecosystem and helping drivers to, in a single click, solve basically all their problems and pains related to his or her vehicles. I also would like to highlight that Azul Plus and Intelligent Slot, Inteligente, which is our own app that contains services and facilities, they will very soon become a unified app. And we are now integrating the platforms, and so much so that in October, we have basically launched the city of São Carlos to the Azul Mais and/or Azul Plus. And very soon, other municipalities will start to count on slot booking and monthly services. Then all that might be serviced from a single platform. This is our digital strategy for the company for the coming months. Now, moving to page eight, we are now going to talk about electrical mobility, which is a very important point within our ESG agenda. So let me start by updating you on the merging of Ecovagas and electric platforms. And we believe that in the coming weeks, we will have the closure of this merging operation that will develop the largest platform of electric stations in Brazil. And this is great news. And Azul Electric and partners launched Southern Route, Rota Sul. And the objective is to allow electric car drivers to go all the way from Curitiba and running through this tourist route until Bento Gonçalves and Caxias do Sul in very fast routes and making them completely confident that they will have charging stations should they decide to go through the Southern Route. I would like to now give the floor to Emílio Sanches, our CFO, who's going to tell us the results for 3Q.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I would again like to thank you all for attending our conference call. Let's start with the financial results, and then I'd like to, not before, congratulating Instapar's teams for the 3Q. another good Q, showing a good recovery, the good growth of our revenue, the cash gross profit, and our financial cash flow at the end of September 2022. So now let's move to page number 10. And during the month of September, we've closed with 746 operations and 741,000 slots under our management. And we did so through the Digital Azul. And our last M&A, as highlighted in the last conference call, we have been maintaining this quarter great growth since that we have basically saved the investments for long-term contracts, reinforcing the power of our commercial team. And we are keeping the focus on the profitability and commercial discipline without losing the quality of our service provision. Our churning, the closing of the operations of the period is within the historical average of the company. On page 11, our strong recovery in the net revenue in all sectors of the business. Repeating the previous Q, the growth is really accelerated and close to the pre-pandemic indexes. And as we said, in July and August, we already had good growth indexes. We had a revenue of 295 million reais and a 29% growth vis-à-vis to the 3Q of 2021. So another Q that has been consolidating on the message that we have been conveying to our stakeholders that demonstrates the assertiveness in the management post-pandemic. So, and on our pre-IFRS 26, that demonstrates our margin without accounting impacts. And we've reached more than 73 million reais, and that was a 60.9% growth vis-à-vis to 2021. We are in a strong recovery of our revenue in this profit and gross margin quarter after quarter. This is something we have been reinforcing to our creditors. And just as I said in the last calls, and the recovery summed up with the efficient management of the costs, plus the concession of the Blue Zone of the city of São Paulo, we are certain that we will disclose very promising figures quarter after quarter. And we are now revealing our EBITDA, and that was an amazing Q for Safara. The increased revenue, we had a very strong EBITDA. The pandemic was gone, and we are now back to our growth cycle. We have reached this quarter more than 46 million reais in EBITDA, the margins exceeding 46% of the revenue. If we update this figure, we are already moving to an EBITDA that exceeds 200 million reais. Despite the good figures, we are still dedicated to our disciplined management of the company with more and more expressive figures in the future. Now, moving to page 14, we will demonstrate our FFO, very consistent one, positive Q, more than a result of a very strong recovery in 2022. Our discipline allows us to generate cash in order to manage our debt and to manage other investments for the future of Safra. We are confident that the FFO is going to consistently improve quarter after quarter. On slide 15, we are going to talk about the consistent reduction of our net loss. And we have been doing so if compared to 2020, a reduction of more than 50%. And that, as well as the FFO, has an impact on our financial debt. Despite the recovery, the results of some operations are not enough to pay depreciation and the amortization over some investments that were done in the past. So with all those actions in the company, we continue to be confident that we will improve quarter after quarter this additional indicator of Estapar. Now moving to page 16, we would like to introduce you to the cash flow in the quarter. On June the 30th, we had 77 million in our cash, and we had a very positive operational flow of 63 million. And the CapEx investment have amounted to 20.2 million, and we are obviously benefiting from this, as well as investments for a new platform of the Azul Digital. And as spoke on our last call, together with our other partners through new debentures, we have stretched short-term debt and we have increased the cash in 52.5 million, and we have closed the month of September with more than 143 million reals on our cash, rather comfortable for our debt reduction strategy on the short term and to invest in our growth strategy. Now, moving to page 17, we have stabilized our financial debt, and the net debt reduction was then very good, and we closed September with 772 million reals in the net debt, and we are very comfortable for the short-term debt. But the cash generation plus the cash amounts, we are not going to expect problems to pay for our obligations, and still proceeding with very good results. And we are now with lower spreads if compared to 2 years ago. We are rather confident that we're going to be really successful in the debt renegotiations and in the amortizations for 2022. On page 18, we would like to present you with a specific slide, just like we did in the last quarter, to show the continuous financial deleverage or financial leverage rebalancing. And we can see the stabilization of the net debt, and we can see that the columns show the quarter after quarter EBITDA and the cash generation in the last 12 months. And as a consequence, we can see the green demonstrating the leverage reduction to much healthier levels. And if we keep those dynamics, we are pretty confident that our leveraging is going to reach pretty healthy levels for an open capital company. And we will soon open for questions. Thank you for attending, and we are keeping our confidence in the strategy adopted. We are very happy, and until our next conference call, and we are certain that we will get back to you with even more promising results. Thank you. Thank you, Emilio. Let's now move on to page number 20, where we are going to tackle our ESG agenda. I would first like to highlight that within our ESG strategy that will be implemented along the next 2.5 years, we are in full fledge, and over 40 actions have been implemented throughout the year of 2022, and more than 60 are planned for the year of 2023. And we are pretty confident that we will be successful in this very important plan for the company. And I would like to call your attention to some of the issues connected to diversity. I would first like to highlight that Perlabaton's Hospital had its first unit inaugurated. And since this was a woman's health hospital, we decided to do 100% female operation. So women are going to be leading all the operations. This is a pilot for new operations. And in terms of diversity, despite we are working in a typically male-dominated sector, 22% of the positions have been filled with women. And in the administrative area, where we have 300 headcounts, 57% of them are women. Our board is taking part in the Women on Board, and we have two women in the board since 2021, and we keep on with very important actions for the Pink October, like sharing live sessions and other actions. And we believe that diversity is a very important asset, and Estapar is going to remain attentive to diversity-driving attitudes. And let's now move to the closing remarks, and that is on page 22. So we will start by talking about the operating results. We have achieved historical revenue records with structurally better margins and still evolving a more profitable portfolio of operations and with room for even more growth. The debt renegotiations, we could say that the evolution of our indicators and its improvement perspective combined with the creditors' confidence in SFR has allowed us to reprofile our debts. Liquidity and efficient cost of capital are the focus of our administration, of our management. And on the reduction of financial leverage, through the natural evolution of operating results and our proven financial discipline, we have reduced the leverage to increasingly healthier levels. And for the new frontiers, we can highlight the South Route, which is another movement that proves the development of electrical mobility in Brazil and the solutions offered by Ecovagas together with Zeletric that will consolidate this growing market that is, again, growing in full fledged. And thank you very much for your participation in this call, and we would like to open now for the questions and answers. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start the Q&A session. In order to ask a question, please dial star 1, and in order to remove the question from the list, dial star 2. Our first question comes from Renata Cabral from Citibank. Please proceed, Renata. Hello, good morning. Thank you for addressing my question. I have two. The first is with regards to the revenue growth of this quarter that was a rather robust one. You've mentioned already during the call about the increased use in some sectors. I would like to know whether in this revenue increase, if you had price increases of the average ticket during this quarter. That was question number one. Question number two is more on the long-term strategy vis-a-vis to electric chargers. Because here in Brazil, it seems that this is not something for the present, but the future seems slightly closer, at least in the larger urban centers. We can start to see a growing trend for the electric vehicles. So I just would like to hear from you, how is the structure? How are you intending to do the monetization of this? Who's paying? Are the assembly companies? Is the consumer going to pay? So how do you intend to organize that? Well, Renata, first and foremost, thank you for your participation on behalf of Citibank. Good morning again. It's a pleasure to talk to you. So let us start by addressing this first question. The revenue growth is a result of two movements. Of course, an important recovery of the vehicles flow in the parking lots. And in particular, if you analyze leisure, health, and education, we can see the continuity of this flow recovery, especially for airports and shopping centers, as well as in the Wall Street, given the reopening and the resumption of services in general. That gives us a very positive bias in terms of flow, right? Now, with regards to the average ticket, we can say that over the last 2.5 years, during the COVID pandemic, we did have an increase in the average ticket, especially for the monthly clients. Not only that, for the daily clients as well. And our concessions are basically, readjusted according to the inflation, as we saw along the year in the case of São Paulo, Blue Zone, and so on. But we were still unable to transfer 100% of the inflation rate because, as I said, our monthly clients that is, traditionally connected to businesses, the business offices, is slightly later if compared to other sectors. But we imagine that this is about to catch up with the inflation rates, right? Now, vis-a-vis to your second question, Renata, electric vehicles. As you mentioned yourself after your visit to Fenatran, this is becoming a reality. And for, you know, a whole bunch of reasons, but let's address the main ones. Number one, in the post-COVID, people became, you know, more and more aware of the need for sustainable solutions. And if, and we have, obviously, a clean energy matrix right from the outset in what we are investing in terms of energy, and differently from other countries around the world. It's a clean, really clean energy. So this is extremely important. And the other factor is that in the Brazilian automobile industry, and this is the standard and the benchmark worldwide, is we have the regulations with regards to pollutants emissions and Proconard. And now trying to cut a long story short, Proconard, when it took office and when, or as it comes into effect in 2025, rather, the assembly companies that will have fuel-based and oil-based vehicles and engines, they will need to catch up. So that's why we have most of the dealers and assembly companies, you know, launching new models. And we have Volvo and Ecovo, and they have been launching new models continuously. So our view is that this is indeed going to be pushed earlier, and the charging stations, we obviously decided to invest on that for the charging of electric vehicles. And this is really very, essential item. And so we are concerned in eliminating this pain and this concern. So for in terms of return, basically the assembly companies that we are now seeing as facilitators, and we are being paid for this infrastructure that we are making available for the clients. And in the second moment, once this Brazilian fleet expands, and it has been expanding exponentially, those certainly going to pay for that energy is the consumer in a proportionate way. So we have three lines of services that we act, that we call the convenience charging station in shopping centers, airports, and other office buildings. The household charge, and that, you know, which is basically where the vehicles are going to be charged. And we would like to separate the meters and have them installed separately in the facilities. So this is another line, which is the households. And another line, another front that has been, you know, developing is the one for the fleet owners, the e-commerce, you know, dealers and retailers. They will have to keep their cars, you know, constantly charged. And the app drivers obviously have an important role to play in the electrification of the fleet. So we're rather confident that this new growth avenue, which is electric mobility, is a very promising one. We are really excited about this. I hope I was able to address your questions, Renata. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Next ones, please. Sure. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Just bear in mind that in order to ask a question, dial star. And please wait. Our next question comes from WebQuest, and I'd like to give the floor back to the company. Good morning, this is Daniel. I have two questions here. The first is related to the mobility that was answered, and the second one is for Rafael Gomez. When the company has high debt, what is the plan for you to try to solve this? Okay, if you allow me, let me just give the floor to Emilio Sanchez, and I think he is the most indicated person to address that. Emilio, hi, Rafael. Hello, good morning. Thank you for the question. And as you've been probably following up, I mean, this is something that throughout 2020, 2021, and 2, we have been very successfully, in quarter after quarter, we have been reducing the leverage levels and keeping this as a stable debt. So if you compare today to 2020, we have this flat margin, and what makes us very confident, despite the Selic rate is going up and the payment of all the other obligations is being done, and we will try to amortize and to pay the more expensive debts. So with the close up of September with more than 40 million in cash, that makes us comfortable to invest money, to keep on growing. And so obviously we have the ramp up of other investments that were made throughout the year, reducing short-term debts and doing the renegotiations, successful renegotiations for 2022, and trying to remove the short-term pressure. This by itself is going to make us more confident for next year to reduce the debt, deleveraging, and to reduce the leveraging, as you could see from the slides. And this is going to be, have a huge impact. So we, of course, I mean, the estimate is not for anything drastic, any drastic moves, but we feel extremely confident that we're going to grow, that we'll keep on developing and paying for this debt. And obviously, this is an internal decision that we might have to revisit. So 22 was a very promising year, is still being a promising year, and 23 even more, as you will see. Thank you. We are now closing the Q&A session, and I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Andre Yazzie for the final remarks. Please, Mr. Yazzie. Well, it was a rather positive quarter for the company. The employees were pretty pleased with this historical record in our revenue and the growth margins and the flow of vehicles, average ticket, and new accomplishments, new operations that were open, improvement of our portfolio. And as Emilio said before in addressing the previous question, we saw a deleveraging that was extremely important of the company, and either in the recovery of the EBITDA, or in, the debt parameters. And with that, we believe that for the future, the growth of the EBITDA, the operational or operating, reduction of the leveraging is going to increase. And still, in terms of debt, it's important for us to mention that all the challenges that we had this year for renewals and short-term, they were very successfully executed. So our debt, as you might have observed from the short-term presentation, was stretched in the profile, and that certainly demonstrates our ability to manage our debt and how confident the creditors and shareholders are in the company. And we obviously have been concentrating our focus, and we have two new frontier avenues, electric mobility with the eco slots, and now with Z-Electric, that is a very important growth, as I said before. And finally, the Azul Digital, which is the auto tech platform. As I said in the beginning of the presentation, this is now being fully integrated with Estapar digital platform. So very soon we should have a large platform that drivers will be able to resort to solve their pains, either to him or herself or to the vehicle. So we are very excited and, very optimistic, not only for the end of this year, but for 2023. Have a wonderful day and see you soon. Estapar's conference call is closed. Thank you for your attendance, and thank you for using Chorus Call.